from NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, pianist Peter Dugan.
Thank you, Joanne. And get ready, everybody, because we have a musical adventure today. In addition to our usual, or really unusual, cadre of great young musicians that we always bring onto the show, we have two broadcast premieres of new works by young composers. The first is a solo piano piece composed by a teenager from Queens, New York. It's a thrilling piece full of unexpected twists and turns. You'll not only hear me perform that piece, but also you're going to hear a working session that I recorded with the young composer himself, and he coaches me very specifically on how he wants the piece to be played. I mean, this is really a young man who knows what he wants, and it was a thrill working with him. Later on in the program, you'll hear a world premiere by a young composer on the other side of the country in Los Angeles, and that is a really evocative piece that's actually inspired by architecture, the architecture of two famous but totally contrasting concert halls. Also today, we welcome back From the Top's recurring co-host, my good friend, clarinetist Alex Lang. Alex will be joining me to interview and collaborate with our young musicians during the second half of the program. A big thank you to the Colburn School for hosting our in-person sessions in Los Angeles on today's program. And in the spirit of adventure, let's start things off with something big and bold, shall we? This is 13-year-old Fiona Huang from Saratoga, California, performing the second movement of the cello sonata in D minor by Dmitri Shostakovich. Allegra Chapman is at the piano. Thank you. We heard the second movement of the cello sonata in D minor by Dmitri Shostakovich, and it was performed by Fiona Huang, who's just 13 years old and from Saratoga, California. At the piano was Allegra Chapman. Fiona, that was so much fun. What an exciting performance. You just had me dancing and honestly headbanging a little bit over here too. That was a real treat.
Thank you.
You know, I wish I could say that all you dream about is becoming a great pro cellist, but I know that's not really the case. You actually have a major love of sports. Is that right?
Yes.
What sport are we talking about here?
I really love playing soccer.
Is that something that you think you might go pro with someday?
I don't know if I'm good enough, but like that's what I hope.
I also read that you even play soccer in the house when you go visit your relatives in Taiwan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, whose family are you there visiting in the first place?
In the house, I'm always visiting my mom's side.
Okay.
And I have some cousins there, and I decided to play soccer in the house, but it wasn't exactly a soccer ball. It was a broken basketball. So it was like a little bit softer than like a basketball.
A little bit softer, right. Now, be honest, did anything break when you were playing soccer in the house?
No, I don't think. I mean, it hit some windows, but they were fine.
I know you have all sorts of fun on your Taiwan visits, but I was particularly interested by the fact that you do some motorcycle adventuring. Is that right?
Yeah. So in the morning, I go with my mom. So my mom is in the back and I go in the front. Like she rides it, but she's like this.
And all right. You're kind of nestled in front
of
her.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And we go around and buy some breakfast. I like these pop stickers because like they're only good in Taiwan. Here, they're not as good. So I really like buying the pot stickers. I also like a rice burrito kind of thing.
Wow. Okay. That sounds good. Sign me up. Now, wow. Well, for such a fan of soccer and as someone who plays soccer, I'm guessing that you're probably a fan of the U.S. women's team?
Yeah. Yes. Definitely.
Well, you know, I love Megan Rapinoe and that whole team.
Yeah. Yes. I think they do a great job of saying the importance of equal pay because men's are paid much higher than women's players. And I also think that's important because they also fight against racial injustice, which is a big problem in our world today.
Yeah, and when you look at someone like a pro athlete or, by the way, a pro musician, those individuals have so much power to affect change in the world, right? And that's what you're going to do too, Fiona.
Oh, thanks.
You're already such a star at the age of 13, and I know that wherever your career takes you, whether it's with the cello or as a soccer star, I just can't wait to see what you do.
Thank you.
Fiona Huang, 13 years old, from Saratoga, California.
If you subscribe to From the Top's podcast, you can download whatever episodes you want and listen on demand. They're available at fromthetop.org. For the last 15 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $3 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Peter.
Well, we now get to enjoy our first new work on the program. This is the broadcast premiere of Hexachord Composition by Ziyi Tao, an 18-year-old composer from Forest Hills, New York. Now, this is a solo work for the piano, so I had the privilege of being the musician to perform it. You know, as I was studying this piece and preparing it, practicing it, I found that I had lots of questions about the work, and what a luxury that the composer is not only living, but he was just a phone call away. So I called up Ziyi, and we recorded some of the working session over the phone, thinking it would be a fun way to give an authentic glimpse into how Ziyi approaches his own music, and so that all of you can get a little bit of inside baseball on what's going on in this fantastic new composition. Ziyi, it's so nice to meet you. I'm literally here practicing your piece right now as we speak, so I thought I'd call you and ask you some questions.
Thank you for looking at the piece and learning it.
So, you know, the first thing I noticed when I looked at the score here, of course, it's called Hexachord Composition. And then you have this theme, it says theme chord. And there's this beautiful manuscript. And I see this chord right here. which is just so tasty. So tell me about this 6-note chord. Talk to me about the concept.
Yeah, actually this piece began as part of a composition assignment I had to do at school, and the kind of, I guess the rubric or the goal was that we would write a short composition based on any hex chord of our own choosing. So as part of the assignment, I wrote out the first movement to this piece. And later on in the summer, I was able to complete and add in 5 other movements.
So great. So I get that we have the 6-note chord and we also have 6 movements, which seems fitting. I want to ask you now a couple of sort of nitty gritty questions, if you don't mind. At the end of the 2nd movement, there's, let me just see here. You have these 4 small notes, and then the sforzandoissimo, I don't know the correct term for SFF, but is up there on the top. Did you have in mind for that flourish to sort of be a crescendo to the top, like that, or that it's more like that, kind of pristine for the first 4 notes and then just suddenly loud on the top, or is it a boo-ah?
That's interesting. When I wrote it, the intention was that the entire thing, including the flourish, would be extremely loud. But the way you played it, secondly, actually just having the higher note sounded really interesting. And I think I would like to hear it that way as well.
Okay, cool. Fun. That's the great joy of being able to interpret a score and then talk to the composer immediately afterwards. Gosh, that would save a lot of arguments if we could find out from, you know, Beethoven, hey, was that crescendo supposed to be there? 96. So in movement 5, there's this, and then we have an LV. Now, when the left-hand bit comes in again, I mean, my inclination would be to clear up the pedal a little bit and get and make sure that that's like really clearly audible, each note individually. But did you want there to still be like a lot of haze as I play that bar?
Yeah, I think the pedal should only be lifted before measure 98.
Oh, okay. All right, then I might just, yeah, I'll try to find the right balance where it's still hazy, but you can somewhat discern. Because, you know, depending on the piano and the hall, that's one of those spots where it might get totally lost. And I want to make sure that, like, you know, that it's, that we can still, like, discern the pitches there, you know?
That's honestly not too important because of... One of the things is how low it is, and the other
so
is that there's no real...
just kind of being a rumble.
Yes.
Okay, cool. I'm glad I asked. And then, okay, so here's my last question. The very last bar of the piece, I'm looking at these repeated chords, 32nd notes, and you've got it at a quarter equals 125. My friend, I don't know if I personally am physically capable of playing those at that tempo. First of all, can you do that? Because if so, that's crazy.
I don't think so. I should have written out really just one note head with a bunch of feather-beamed stems instead of the exact amount of notes.
All right, got it. So you'd be cool with something like...
Do you think it's possible that they'd be as... Actually, the left-hand note be following the right-hand notes as quickly as possible.
Ah.
Like, yes.
Like more immediate like that.
Yes, thank you.
Got it. Yeah. So that gives you a sense of just how directed Z is and how intentional he is about his music. So here goes, the full work. This is Hexachord Composition by 18-year-old composer Ziyi Tao. Thank you. You just heard the broadcast premiere of Hexachord composition by 18-year-old composer Ziyi Tao from Queens, New York. Peter Dugan here, and that was me performing at the piano. Ziyi is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. I absolutely fell in love with that piece. It was a challenge to learn it, but over the course of studying it and getting to know it, it's become one of my favorite pieces. I'm looking forward to performing it on my own solo recitals coming up. And everybody at From the Top was really struck by the originality of that music and just how intellectually rigorous it was, but also filled with these imaginative worlds of sound and texture. Our next young performer is no less original and imaginative, but in a totally different way. 16-year-old violinist Iris Shepherd comes from an extremely rural part of Tennessee. You're going to hear her paint the picture of just what her home is like in a moment. But coming from that area, her musical world encompasses both traditional classical rep, but also the traditional bluegrass fiddle music that she grew up around. And she's going to bring that breadth of ability to her performance now of La Gitana by Fritz Kreisler. And Dr. Caleb Harris is joining her at the piano. Violinist Iris Shepherd, 16 years old from Henry, Tennessee, performed La Gitana by Fritz Kreisler, along with pianist Dr. Caleb Harris. And Iris is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. Iris, I so enjoyed hearing you perform that. You gave such a soulful rendition of the piece. The opening was rhapsodic, and then you just launched into that lovely, charming, rhythmic second half. It was really wonderful.
Thank you so much. It's actually one of my favorite pieces.
So, Iris, where exactly is Henry, Tennessee?
Henry, Tennessee is in the middle of nowhere. We are around 2.5 hours away from Nashville and also the same distance away from Memphis. So I live in a lodge-looking house in the middle of 15 acres of woods. And it is one of my favorite things to be able to go out in our neighborhood of sorts and go on runs with my dogs down to the llama farm and down to the sheep farm, the other side of the road. We live in the most rural but beautiful area, and it's always so much fun to be able to explore it.
Now, living in this rural area, your family is actually full of music. Who plays in the family?
We are. So my dad plays the piano and sings. My mom also plays the piano and sings. My older brother, Jordan, is a violist. I play the violin. And then I have a younger brother who plays the cello and the banjo. And then my youngest sister also plays the violin. So we are a very musical family and we enjoy playing together.
In fact, I understand that the whole family travels around touring as a band.
Yes, we have a family band that stopped, sadly, once COVID hit, but we enjoy traveling everywhere, and we would play maybe 40 to 50 concerts a year and travel all around our area.
Wow. For so many From the Top performers, the center of their dream as musicians is to live in one of these big cities, soloing with the great orchestras, and I understand that you envision a different sort of musical journey for yourself.
Yes. So living in such a rural area all my life, we've had to travel so far to find expertise in classical music and training. So my dream is to be able to bring high-level classical training to more rural communities so that people do not have to travel as far as I have, even though we gladly do it.
Wow, what a gift. That's a wonderful thing. Of course, Tennessee is in the center of bluegrass fiddling country. Can you talk about your relationship to that art form?
Yes. So fiddling actually helps me relax. It's a different genre, of course, than classical. Mm-hmm. So it's always fun for me throughout the day to be able to go in between, say, playing Brahms and then being able to play the Orange Blossom Special or something really crazy and fun. I feel like it's great to switch it up.
Now, when you go and you play a concert, and you play your Brahms, and then you play your fiddling together on the same show, as I think you do, what kind of reaction do you get from the crowd?
I get a very positive reaction. I always have people coming up after the show telling me how much they have enjoyed hearing different genres, because typically you would go to an all-classical show or an all-fiddle show. So I think it's great to be able to show people both at once.
I couldn't agree more. I'm so with you on that. And speaking of fiddling, I would love to hear a little bit of fiddle music before we say goodbye. I happen to know just how good you are as a fiddle player because I've heard you play before. But before you dive into a little treat for us, I just want to thank you again for being here, for sharing your music with us. And, you know, I'm just so excited about your future.
Thank you.
So what are you going to play for us?
I will be playing the Orange Blossom Special.
Sixteen-year-old violinist Iris Shepherd from Henry, Tennessee, leaving us with a taste of the Orange Blossom Special by Irvin T. Rouse.
Daily joy. Couldn't we all use a bit of daily joy in our daily routines? Well, if you sign up for From the Top's Daily Joy video series, you'll have incredibly joyful minute-long music videos delivered to you daily. Sign up at fromthetop.org and cheer up.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Volgenau Foundation, supporting programs that protect the environment, educate children, and promote classical music. from the National Endowment for the Arts, the federal agency that supports the arts and creativity in communities across the nation. More information is available at arts.gov. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. Coming up, today's co-host Alex Lang joins Peter Dugan to interview a young clarinetist from Alabama. He'll also introduce us to a brilliant young composer and collaborate on the finale for today's show, a piece called Gammon by William Grant Still. Today's in-person segments at Zipper Hall in Los Angeles are hosted by the Colburn School. Pianist Peter Dugan, From the Top's host, is sponsored by Susan and Gerald Slavitt.
Today's co-host, the wonderful clarinetist, educator, and activist Alex Lang is with me, and we're on the stage of Zipper Hall at the Colburn School in Los Angeles, getting ready to record a world premiere. Alex, you're leaping into the action with your clarinet right now to join six fantastic young musicians on this exciting piece. Are you ready?
100%.
All right, but of course, first things first, introduce us to the man of the hour, this young composer who wrote the exciting music we're about to hear.
He's 18-year-old composer Joseph Kars from right here in L.A. Joseph, you go by Joey, right?
Yeah.
And can you tell us something about the piece?
Yeah, so the piece is called Binding Disunity. I wrote it about a year ago in the L.A. Philharmonic Composer Fellowship Program. It's a great program. They've given us a lot of opportunities. And this specific piece, the prompt was architecture. So I wanted to find kind of the dichotomy between these two buildings that I really like, the Tanglewood New Music Center, which is kind of this avant-garde, modern-y thing, and the Dresden Opera House, which is a grand, classical, beautiful building in Germany. And so converting that to music was kind of the tricky part. Mm-hmm. But it ended up sounding like this fast pace, like fast tempo, offbeat, modern section to in exchange with this grand, lush violin, string chords, and this kind of almost film score-y vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Audrey Kim and Dara Moyer on violin, Allison Park on viola, Jessica Zhang on cello, Mia Safdi on harp, Slater Anton on flute, and of course, Alex Lang on clarinet.
Thank you.
We heard teenage students at the Colburn School in Los Angeles perform the world premiere of Binding Disunity by Joseph Kars. Audrey Kim and Dara Moyer on violin, Allison Park on viola, Jessica Zhang on cello, Mia Safdie on harp, Slater Anton on flute, and my co-host today, Alex Lang, on the clarinet. Huge thanks to LA-based conductor and composer Derek Spiva for stepping in to conduct the work. Joining me and Alex at the mics right now is the composer, Joey Kars, himself. What a beautiful piece. Alex, what was it like to be inside of that performance?
It was a lot of fun. In the intro, Joey talked about sort of this dichotomy between this, sort of mathematical, offbeat, spiky stuff and this lush stuff. And you definitely felt that, and you knew exactly like where you were when you were playing. There was no confusion about where you were in those two sections.
I love that moment when all the strings are doing the tremolos. And then, Alex, you were beautifully trading lines back and forth with flute and harp. Joey, you constructed that so beautifully for this ensemble.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to write, and it was so, so amazing to hear everyone play my piece. It's the thrill of being a composer is really to just hear your work being brought to life.
Yeah, yeah. So Binding Disunity certainly has a lot of careful thought put into it. But when you were asked, what do you want people to take away from Binding Disunity? You joked that you're not expecting people to remember a tune or come out singing or have it stuck in their head. So with that, what do you hope for people to feel when you write stuff like this?
I want people to feel by the end of it a sense of accomplishment and completion.
Mm.
Especially with this piece, it was almost like a treasure hunt, kind of like you're like winding like through the maze of each section, and that at the end you kind of get to this beautiful like lush section, which at least personally I love to kind of just like close my eyes and just feel that.
That line about treasure hunt is brilliant, and that really resonates with me. This idea that you're thinking about the audience and you're recognizing that like this isn't easy listening, right? And so that sense of like we made it. I know we feel that way as performers. When we get to that last page and it's like really grooving now, we've got these lush chords, there's a sense of like, you know, arrival. I love the idea that you're sort of anticipating the audience sort of having that same experience going on that journey. That's really great.
Yeah, you used the word journey. I absolutely felt that. I want to talk a little bit about
Binding Disunity. We just heard the world premiere of Binding Disunity, but there's another kind of apparent disunity in Joey's life as a composer, wouldn't you say, Alex?
Well, maybe. Let's see. I mean, I think so.
I think he writes some other kinds of stuff like this.
So, all right, so what is that, Joey? What was that we just heard?
I guess you could say it's some type of beat. it's definitely not classical, but that I kind of just made a couple of days ago, just like messing around in Logic.
So this, you know, beat making or composing in this style, is this something you take seriously? Is this something you do a lot of?
Yeah, and that kind of reminds me of something that you, Alex, talked about a couple of weeks ago when you were talking about, like, you're a modern musician now as opposed to, like, a traditional classical musician.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a composer, I think of that, like, I'm kind of just keeping my ear open to, you know, EDM, rap, jazz, pop, hip-hop. Mm-hmm. And I guess as I get older, incorporating those is kind of my goal, but I want it to be seamless. It's just one genre.
Right. I mean, amen, because how freeing would it be if you didn't have to say this is a classical piece or this isn't a classical piece, but like you said, you're a contemporary musician, you're making music, you know? And I think we're moving in that direction, and it's people like you who are going to keep it happening.
Yeah, no, I think if you can make the qualifier my music, right? And it sounds like you've got a lot to say in terms of, you know, what's yours, because you really seem to own a whole bunch of music, and I'm looking forward to playing it.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean,
yeah. More Joey Carrs to come. I feel it. Joey, thank you so much. It's been a real treat.
Thank you so much for having me.
Joey Carrs, 18 years old, from right here in Los Angeles. Pianist Peter Dugan here, and my co-host today is the excellent principal clarinetist from the Phoenix Symphony, Alex Lang. Alex shares a passion for the clarinet with our next young performer, 17-year-old Solomon Sigmund from Owens Cross, Alabama. Solomon is a clarinet student at the Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan, and that's where he recorded this unaccompanied clarinet gem for us. This is Hommage a Manuel de Falla by Bela Kovach. Thank you.
That was 17-year-old Solomon Sigmund from Owens Cross, Alabama, performing Homage a Manuel de Falla by Bela Kovach. Solomon is one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artists. I'm Peter Dugan, and given that my co-host today, Alex Lang, is himself a clarinetist like Solomon, we had Alex meet with Solomon one-on-one to talk shop.
Solomon, that was incredible. Such a passionate and almost liquid. I mean, the way you get around the instrument is really just inspiring. And I got to say, as a fellow clarinetist, really impressive. I want to talk to you about this last year, because while the pandemic has been tough for us all, you say that for you personally, it provided an opportunity to address some big things in your playing. So what kind of stuff are you talking about with that?
Yes, sir, it did. So in my practice room, there were one of the main things I needed to work on was my tonguing, because I actually found out that I was anchor tonguing, which is where you tongue like farther back in your mouth and your tongue is like arched. And so this held me back when it came to like playing passages that have like fast tonguing patterns, and I knew that I needed to like switch over to it. And because of quarantine and being at home and not having rehearsals, I had a lot of time to like sit down and work on switching how I tongue.
So what you're talking about is a major retool that takes real courage whenever we do it as musicians or just as people, right? Really deconstructing and reconstructing something, you know, important, articulation or our life, our career, our relationship to something. Can you talk a little bit about what that was like from a courage / fear perspective?
Yes, sir. So when I came to this conclusion that like I needed to change, I remember asking different people who played clarinet, like, hey, like, how long did it take you? How long did it take others? And the responses I got were, some people were like, oh, like 4 months. And then some people were like, oh, like it took one of my friends almost a whole semester. And so when I heard those responses, I was kind of like, whoa, like, oh gosh. But then like, even though that they gave me those responses, I was like, no, I'm going to do this. I can do this.
That takes like major drive and belief in yourself. You know, where would you say that comes from? Or how do you cultivate that? Or how have you cultivated that within yourself?
So, well, it's kind of a silly answer. So my best friend, whose name is Vincent, we watched this anime show called Naruto. And the reason why it's funny is because one of the characters in the show, there's a quote he uses. It's like, you cannot win alone with just technique. It's also like willpower. And in the show, not only did he like put in the work and like train a lot, but he also told himself that he could do it. And so watching that, I started thinking to myself, I was like, I could apply this like to my music. I talked to like my friend and I, we talked about it like a lot.
Mm. Solomon, you have so much to feel good about, not just what you did today, but the work you've done in the last year. I'm so glad we got an opportunity to talk about that. You know, I mean, so much is focused on the performance, but the process of getting there, I think, is what's really interesting, and the striving. Way to go, man. Sounds terrific. The world is going to be your oyster regarding like clarinet stuff, clearly.
Oh, thank you so much.
Solomon Sigmund, 17 years old, from Owens Cross, Alabama.
From the Top is also presenting concerts by our young musicians every 2 weeks on Facebook and YouTube. These are intimate and fun music experiences hosted by Peter Dugan and recorded right from our young musicians' homes. Search for From the Top on Facebook or go to youtube.com/from the top.
Alex, one of the great joys for me of having you on the show to co-host is that now you and I get to play together.
Yeah, man.
I love the piece that you've brought. Tell me what inspires you about this.
Sure. So we're going to play a transcription of the third movement of William Grant Still's Suite for Violin. Each one of the movements is inspired by a sculptor, actually, from the Harlem Renaissance. This third one is inspired by a work by Augusta Savage called Gammon. And so what I love about it is that idea of getting to sort of touch this period in history, the Harlem Renaissance, and also getting to sort of visit a corner of William Grant Still's mind, and this corner that was particularly inspired by Augusta Savage.
Let's go there now.
Let's do it.
So that's about all she wrote for today's show. I want to thank Alex and all the young performers we've met on the program, not only for sharing their music with us today, but also for sharing their humanity. And to you, listening while driving around in your Ford F-150, or while you're at home in the garden, or at the fridge, struggling to open a jar of half-sour pickles, thanks for being with us. I'm pianist Peter Dugan, and I hope you'll join us for From the Top next week.
From the Top is written and produced by Tim Banker, with post-production mastering and editing by senior producer Tom Vagley. Our music director is Megan Swan, and the production manager is Matt Dykeman. David Norville is assistant producer. Sound design and editing by John Escobar. The recording engineers for today's program at the Colburn School are Francesco Perlangeli and Sergei Parfanov. Additional sound engineering by Matt Lay at Omni Sound Studios in Nashville, Tennessee, Michael Culler at Interlochen Public Radio in Interlochen, Michigan, and Tom Disher at Disher Sound in San Francisco, California. From the Top's executive director is Gretchen Nielsen, and I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need, jkcf.org. From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, supporting an equitable recovery and the reinvention of systems to create a more just, inclusive, and resilient world. More information is at macfound.org. And from the Public Welfare Foundation, committed to advancing transformative youth and criminal justice reforms.
The International Children's Arts Network is community funded, supported by listeners like you, and by a grant from the Joyce N. Furman Memorial Trust, celebrating a lifetime of giving to children, education, and the arts.
This is ICAN. KQAC HD2 Portland 89.9.
KQOC HD2 Glen Eden Beach 88.1.
KSLC HD2 McMinnville
90.3.
KQHR HD2, The Dalles and Hood River 88.1.
Hi, my name is Elena Stepler, and I am ICANN Radio and All Classical Portland's Youth Roving Reporter. And I would like to share with you a song that I am grateful for. The swinging song, Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy, is a piece of music that I am grateful for because it always puts a smile on my face and makes me bounce to the melody. The classic song was first performed in 1941 by the group The Andrew Sisters. Three actual sisters originally from Minnesota. Their harmonies are always sharp, and the song has such an animated and nostalgic feel to it with jumpin' beats. Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy was nominated for an Academy Award for the Best Original Song and is a perpetual source of delight. Now let's listen to Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy.